For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In 2009, I got drafted to the Eagles, right? DeSean Jackson, everybody knew his name. My first year, I'm in the league. I don't know how that worked. He told the trainer, look, we got to put the Ferrari in the shop until Sunday. Like, coach, you know what I mean? So Andy Reid come over, and Andy Reid don't play no games. He's like, what's going on? I said, hey, coach, look, we got to put the Ferrari away until Sunday. So anyway, he told Jackson, he whistled, told the trainer, like, he did like this.
So put him up.
I'm practicing, and then in the midst of practicing, I see Jack like leaving, but I don't know what's going on. We get this Sunday, right?
that's we was playing the Chiefs.
Kevin Cobb's the quarterback. You remember Kevin Cobb?
Yeah, I remember
Kevin. We got rid of McNabb. Yeah. Kevin Cobb's quarterback. I'm still a rookie. I'm starting at the time. Westbrook was like hurt. I see Jack slaying Aaron 60. Aaron, all this craziness. I hear him in the sideline. He's like, yay, the Ferrari out here today. I say, oh, he's a Ferrari. Cuz.
He had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite his skills. Facts. He been riding for the fam. You gotta light the wiggin' wheel straight up. Look in the pass bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
I am athlete parlay. We've been hot, 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 hot.
These are guaranteed wins.
I'm gonna take Arizona over San Fran.
Whoa.
It's all about matchups, understanding who's playing against who. It's a game of chess.
Let's get to the business. The NBA season's coming to an end, and it's time to crown the king. All new customers, if you download DraftKings Sportsbook, the app, you use promo code ATHLETE, and you bet $5 on any team, you're going to get $150 in free bets instantly. Do what the hell you want with it. My favorite part is the parlays, same game parlays. If you put together multiple legs, stack your bets, your bag's going to get a little bit bigger for a bigger payout. If DraftKings isn't in your state, you can participate in the daily fantasy contest where multiple bags are being thrown around, $1 million here and there. You heard the stories. Get into action. Download DraftKings Sportsbook, the app. Use promo code ATHLETE.
DraftKings.com is the sportsbook. I Am Athlete is the platform. Parlay, I Am Athlete all day. Promo code ATHLETE. Let's get it.
Today's episode of I Am Athlete, we have DeSean Jackson, age 35, high school Long Beach Poly, one of the top high school players in the country.
For sure.
He was voted most valuable player at the 2005 U.S. Army All-American Bowl. He went to college at Cal Berkeley from 2005 to 2007. As a sophomore, he earned his first team All-Pac-10 honors as both a punt returner and a wide receiver.
Okay.
First team All-American punt returner as a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
As a junior, Jackson finished the 2007 season with 65 catches for 762 yards. Scored 6 touchdowns as a receiver. He was named All-American as a return specialist. NFL draft second round 49th overall in 2008 by the Philadelphia Eagles. Ran a 4.35 in the NFL Combine. NFL career from 2008 to 2013, Philadelphia Eagles. Washington from 2014 to 2016. Tampa Bay Bucks from 2017 to 2018. Back to the Eagles for 2019 to 20. And for 2021, he was on the Rams and on the Raiders. His accomplishments are second team All-Pro 2009, Three-time Pro Bowl, 2009, 10, and 13. Yay. NFL records, career touchdown of 60-plus yards. Career touchdowns of 80-plus yards by way of Crenshaw.
And he holds the record for the 60 yards.
Yes.
At 26.
At 26.
Holds the record. And he's tied for 80 yards at 5.
Correct.
Come on, man. I know my numbers by my dog, man. To all the viewers, DeSean Jackson is the best deep threat receiver the NFL has ever seen. It is my opinion, but when we're talking stats, there's nobody that has more 60-yard bombs for touchdowns. I think he got like 26 or something like that. 80-yard touchdowns, too. Crazy. He got like 5, and he's tied for that. And I played with some dudes, and I love dudes like Randy Moss and all these other dudes. I think Randy Moss is great.
Nobody's better than
D-Jack the deep ball. Simple as that.
You keep saying numbers. Numbers is one thing.
Yeah. And the tape is another thing. Go ahead.
You've been saying this for a minute. Okay.
Right.
You happen to be on the show, but he's been saying this for a minute.
Yeah, he
break
riding
it down, bro.
This.
Like, take the numbers out of it. What you mean? Because you got Randy Moss, you got Larry Fitzgerald.
No, it's Randy Moss.
Deep threat all time. Larry Fitzgerald and deep threat? We're not talking about greatest of all time.
It's Randy Moss.
Deep threat. Yeah, we're talking about deep threat.
Randy Moss. All right.
Megatron, Jerry Rice.
Megatron. And then you.
I beg your pardon.
Anytime Randy Moss.
And anytime
he was on the field.
To Tom Brady?
Anytime Randy was on the field.
Who got the most deep?
I just told him.
We already looked it up. We know you have that.
I mean, you know that's your opinion, though. I ain't mad at your opinion, but
and you my brother. I love you to death.
For sure, but this my.
And I was a cornerback. I played against DJ.
Look at the attempts, though.
I played against DJ.
Look at the attempts.
And I played against Randy Moss.
But look at the attempts, though. Randy Moss is 6'4" running.
We didn't ask about size because
let him break it down for us.
Size plays a when you say deep threats size. I got to run by everybody. I can't jump over. I can't do that.
Randy was fast too now,
but he's the Moss. You know Moss because of
where
Moss.
That come from? Where the Moss come from?
But he was fast too.
6'4", 4'3",
and can fly.
You said Megatron? Megatron, he's not a better deep threat than me. If you got an argument with Moss, Now, overall body of work, I'm going to give you that on that. I mean, you know what he's done
we ain't talking
all
about
time.
That.
Yeah, but I'm deep threat, he can't.
How'd you get back to Philly?
I was in my third year at Tampa. I signed a 3-for-33.
Yep.
I was getting 11 and a half. I was in my third year in Tampa. I told you in another room, I butted heads with Derek Cutter. Me and Derek Cutter, we didn't, and then the receiver coach, Tom Muckin at the time, I got paid, he was like, you got to earn your money. I'm like, that's the point of y'all paying me. I already earned it. Like, of course I'm going to come work and do my thing.
That's
but
what he said?
The first thing he said in the media, when I signed, he said, yeah, he's going to have to come in and earn his money.
Like,
the receiver coach?
The receiver coach. Yeah. So they had like an old school college mentality. It was just like, we butted heads. So my third year, I'm like, man, y'all might as well just trade me and get me up out of here. I'm low-key mad because Tom came in the next year and won a Super Bowl. But I'm like, man, y'all got to get me back to Philly.
That was next year.
Next year. That's how it happened in Philly. I left Philly and the next year they won a Super Bowl. Like, but you know, man, it happens, man. At the end of the day, hey, it must not be.
But was it Jeffrey Lurie or was it?
Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman.
Howie won it.
Yeah, Howie, Dom. You know my boy, you know our boy Dom. Yeah, man, since honestly, bro, and I'm going to keep it all the way 100. Since I left in 2013, bro. Every time I played against the Eagles, I torched them.
Yep,
I made it a point. Every time I play versus them, y'all release me, y'all cut me, I'ma kill y'all. I got the most stats versus any team versus the Eagles when I was in Washington. even when I went to Tampa, bombed them the first play of the game, 70 yards. Like, it was something personal I took against them. So once I left, they had Carson Wentz come back and they was like, we gotta get this dude back. So they kind of already had it in the works. So that was that 2019.
Yeah.
End up getting traded back to there. It was cool. You know, I always know that's home, but it just didn't really work out.
When you left the Eagles, we used to play together in 14.
Yeah.
Our first game, I think, that next week season, one. When I was with the Eagles, it was Washington Redskins at the time.
In Washington?
Redskins. No.
It was in Philly?
In Philly. You was
Kerry Williams.
You kept
that
doing
that wasn't week one, though, but I remember that
you
was
kept
Kerry Williams.
Kept doing the bird.
Killed them.
I'm like, yo, we know DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
At least I know him. Why are we? And this is the problem in my career. I talk too much. When I see it, I'm going to say it.
I ain't going to lie, boy.
Coach, why are we jamming this dude? You know what he do. what are we doing? You trying to prove we let him go? No. I'm gonna tell you a story about crazy, man.
I'm going to tell you a story about this dude. We was playing Dallas. I want to say it was Thanksgiving year. Maybe 2013,
2011,
12. This was back in them days. We on the side. I think we losing by a few points, but we going crazy. Whatever Thursday night game. I think it was Thanksgiving Day. Thursday night, we going crazy. We on the sideline. You know, you get the little break in between, you know, the little TV commercial break. We over there. And McCoy on one. He like, "Coach, give me the ball. Woo, woo." Like, "I need the ball. Feed too far. Like, they can't f*** me up."
Hold on.
I'm doing my shit, right? So I'm like, I'm looking at him. I'm like, "Bro, you do not stop talking shit to the other teams." I'm like, "Bro, I need my energy. I can't be out here talking, get into it, then I got to line up the next play." I'm like, I couldn't understand how this talk go play the whole game.
He lied.
Bro, ask anybody to play against him. He going to talk. You can't.
No, we don't need to hear from you right
he
now.
Hold on.
Bro, you know you went viral from doing all that. He literally just, he got you down. Hey, bro,
he did. Nah. That's
did
him.
Did you see what?
I saw it, but I did ask him, did I text him and told him, yeah. He said, "Man, what's wrong with these dudes? Man, these old heads can't." I was like, "Bro, yeah, I know, talk your shit."
Listen. So I'm going to bring you all the way back. So in 2009, I got drafted to the Eagles, right? DeSean Jackson. Everybody knew his name, you know what I'm saying? At Cal, he went crazy, right? And then, like, his second year was 2010. So I knew about him, but I didn't know he was that crazy. Yo, he's the only player, still to this day, and I play with some dogs. I play with some ballers, right? Still to this day, he's the only player that was better than everybody on the field, effortless, 160 pounds. He bigger now. He was tiny. And I'm calling everybody from the hood like, "Yo, this dude, DeSean Jack, is like that. Phew, all this craziness, small." And I remember, like, that's the first time I seen somebody that was just as good or better. Like, "Yo, this dude's crazy." And I never, like, I always tell people that story. I'm like, "Yo, I never seen a dude, he introduced me to the league." Mm-hmm. This, like, small stuff, like, my first year, I'm in the league. I don't know how that worked. He like, "Look," he told the trainer, "look, we gotta put the Ferrari in the shop until Sunday." Like, "Coach, you know what I mean?" So Andy Reid come over, and Andy Reid don't play no games. He like, "Well, you know," he's like, "what's going on?" I said, "Hey, coach, look, we gotta put the Ferrari away until Sunday." I'm air hustling, because at the time, Andy Reid don't talk to rookies. That's his rule. He don't talk to rookies.
Andy Reid don't talk to rookies.
Did he talk to you like a rookie?
Not really.
He ain't say much to me. I'm keeping real. Yeah, you gotta earn it. So look,
damn.
So Andy Reid, he said,
"He love you to death though. Love his players. Yep. But you gotta earn it with him." But he just. When you know it's when you know.
He don't talk to rookies.
Like when he look at you, he give you that look.
He give that look. And he ain't little though. He ain't a little dude. So anyway, he tell Jackson. He whistled, tell the trainer, like, he did like this.
Yeah, so put him up.
I'm practicing, and then in the midst of practicing, I see Jack like leaving, but I don't know what's going on. We get to Sunday, right?
that's at the time, the Chiefs.
No.
Wasn't the Chiefs?
No. We played the Saints. No. We played the Chiefs. Kevin Cobb's the quarterback. You remember Kevin Cobb?
Oh, yeah, Kevin Cobb.
You got Remy McNabb. Yeah. Kevin Cobb's quarterback. I'm still a rookie. I'm starting at the time. Westbrook was like hurt. Yeah. So I got the green light. So it's Sunday, right? I see Jack slaying Aaron 60. Aaron, all this craziness. I hear him in the sideline. He's like, "Yay, the Ferrari out here today." I say, "Oh, he's a Ferrari."
Okay, so as a wide receiver, when I came in, I studied wide receivers. Mm-hmm. The first couple years, I used to look at all the top 10 receivers. Then I start realizing, like, look, I can never run like D-Jack. I can't be Ocho at the top of my route doing all that shit. Let me study the big receivers, right? What receivers did you respect? What receivers were you paying attention to?
Before I got into the league or when I was in the league?
Like, before you got in the league and those first couple years, before you...
So before I got into the league, I would say Jerry Rice is my all-time. Honestly, if you want to talk about deep threats, I'm going to put Jerry Rice over Randy Moss, and that's no disrespect to Randy Moss.
Jerry got numbers, too.
I love Randy Moss, but when it came down to 50-yard touchdowns and 60-yard touchdowns, Jerry Rice is the guy.
Yeah.
Randy Moss is a little down in that list. So, for me, it was Randy Moss. I mean, it was Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Steve Smith, Dawg.
Yeah, I love Steve Smith.
Steve Smith, Marvin Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Marvin was a dog too.
Isaac Bruce was crazy.
You get what I'm saying? Like but you got to think. Like me, I look at guys under 6 feet. I'm in that category. I'm under 6 feet, but I'm playing like I'm 6'3".
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Ain't too many dudes under 6 feet.
You ain't playing like you're 6'3".
Oh, all right. Well, I'm playing like I'm 6'3". I can moss my too.
But you just said it earlier. You was running by everybody.
But that's okay. But I got some in there when I done mossed people too though.
Yeah, right. That's facts.
That's not my protege, but I got. In there, you get what I'm saying? All right, well, I don't play like I'm 6'3", but I play bigger than my type, 5'10". Right. I play bigger than that. You get what I'm saying? My heart is everything. You get what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to come to the line and be 6'2", and scare me. I don't care how big you is. I'm not scared of no hit. Now, do I want to take him? No, I ain't going to take no hits, but I'm not scared of nothing. You can't. Ray Lewis, I got a story from Ray Lewis. So we playing my rookie year. You wasn't there. Baltimore Ravens came to Philly. I ran a little cross route. I catch that boy. When I see him, my eyes was like this. I lit up and got on. He said, little fella, I love your game. I ain't going to kill you. I said, oof. Thank you. He said, little fella, I love your game. I ain't going to kill you. I said, thank you, boy. But, you know, I don't want to take no hits.
What was the hardest hit you ever taken by him?
Don't do that. I was knocked out. We was playing Atlanta Falcons. Dante Robinson. Yeah. Boy, it was like a car collision.
The corner?
Yeah, boy, he was sitting in cover too. Kevin Cobb stared me down the whole time. Mad at him still to this day. Looking at me and throw it across. Trying to get my eyes. You know, the rules. You don't give me eyes. Don't throw me the ball. I ain't getting my eyes. So I turn around and I see the ball. I didn't see nothing else. I'm knocked out on the ground. Out of there.
I remember that.
Boy, I was out. Boy, I walked to the locker room. I don't remember what happened.
Was that a good move by Andy Reid, choosing Cobb over McNabb?
I think at the time, yeah. Because the reason why I would say that is because
what
at the time. At the time, I feel like yes, and the reason why I'm gonna say that because I felt like it was an aroma. You know, as a quarterback, once you start doing certain things and you're hearing the other players, you're saying stuff in the media, you're not really taking responsibility. Yeah. As a quarterback, I don't care if whatever, you're supposed to take it. It's my fault.
Yep.
I don't care if it ain't my fault. As a quarterback, you out to Tom Brady's Aaron, all Brady of them, the best it. Of the best is taking it. You play with them, I ain't playing with them.
Brady
so
take
as a quarterback, it was just certain times where like, if something didn't happen, it wasn't my fault.
McNabb?
Yeah.
McNabb ain't doing that.
It wasn't my fault, and it's like as a quarterback, you gotta take that, and you know that goes down, that trickles down to the guys on your team. You start to see that, then it's like, damn, how much can I really respect you? And I got a special story. Like Donovan, we cool, no beef, none of that. I'm not trying to clickbait on him and T.O. guy, but yeah, I T.O. remember.
But can you relate to T.O.?
Yeah, he can.
I don't want to talk about that. I'm talking about a situation that I got. Yeah, I don't speak for no other man with another man's situation. Whatever their issues is. My problem was. So Michael Vick was there. This the year when Michael Vick came in and he was about to replace him.
Doing Wildcat stuff. He's only doing Wildcat stuff.
But the year after that is when they shipped, they traded him to Washington. Yep. So that year, that's when I made it for Pro Bowl. The first player in NFL history to make Pro Bowl for two positions.
Watch this.
Two positions. First player in NFL history to make Pro Bowl for two positions.
Okay, Jack.
You get what I'm saying? So when the ballots came out.
He just threw that in there.
Listen to this story, though.
When the ballots came out and they found out that I was the first player in NFL history to get elected to start in a Pro Bowl for two positions, my starting quarterback tells Michael Vick, like damn, I don't think he should have got that. He shouldn't have deserved that. Like you telling another quarterback that your receiver that you throw to that he didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that was crazy, bro. Did you ever
I ain't never said nothing to him about it.
And he made you buy the tickets for the party.
What?
He made you buy the tickets for his party.
Yeah, you feel
you
me?
Too? Yeah, that's gonna cost you $25. an all-white party.
Who had an all-white party?
Like that.
See, he was one of the most cheapest, richest motherfuckers you could know.
But he gonna have a lot of money.
Well, he make you pay for everything.
Yeah.
I remember Hank Bass, another little story. Hank Basket, we had Hank the all-white party. You remember Hank Bass? We had the all-white party. Hank I'm a rookie. Basket. You know how you got the little haze? He's like, yeah, we at the party. We about to go. You about to buy some bottles. I looked at him and said, I'm not buying no bottles for you. I know I'm a young street in L.A. I'm not buying shit. You got to go buy your own bottle. Right. I ain't no rookie hazing. I ain't had to do nothing. I ain't had no rookie dinners. I ain't had to do none of that.
Did they try you?
No, because at the time it was Reggie Brown, Kevin Curtis, Hank Baskin, and Jason Avant.
Oh yes.
I came in and started right away. As a rookie, came in and started right away. Damn near broke 1,000 yards. See this when it go real. It get ugly back in the day, because back then I was hot. They start taking me out of the game because they ain't want me to get all the accolades when they start having to pay me the extra money.
Yep, yep.
I start thinking like, damn, we in week 12, week 13, they taking me out. I'm at 800 yards. I'm finna crack 1,000. They start taking me out of the game. Like,
can we please give Jason Avant his flowers?
Oh yeah, that's
Jason
my dog.
Oh my goodness,
Jason the dog. I love him. Good brother. When he catches passes, we do. Good brother.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
But no, listen. I'm not comparing y'all two, but can you please tell the world how special this dude was in the slot, and like what he used to do? Because like if people ask me about like my all time receivers, whatever, I can name them. But then I always mention a couple dudes that I used to study, like the. Mason.
Derrick Mason.
Derrick Mason.
Derrick Mason.
Sorry, Derrick Mason. Yeah. Derrick Mason. He was nice. Jason Avant. Yeah, like, there's nice. A couple, like, hidden jewels in the NFL I've ever seen. That's like, Vaughn, man, if you everything. Study this dude, it's next level. When I went to the slot, when I started playing this slot, that's who I studied was Jason Avant. Can we just take a minute to give Jason Avant his flowers?
I think, yeah, first.
He'd be like.
First and foremost, you could relate to this because I done been on teams where certain corners didn't even be wanting to get touched. When I talk about run blocking, you go where, they coming. Like, watch your feet. Jason Avant, he take pride in blocking. He was one of them dudes. I never seen nobody to block like him. Like, before these Cooper Kupps and all these Robert Woods getting in there and Shift Mosin and all that tiff sip, like, he was one of them dudes. I done seen him put my on their back. And he wouldn't even care about getting the ball. Like, that's a non-selfish guy. And it's like times when we talk about getting the ball and I'm like, coach, I need the ball. He's like, man, give it to DJ. He advocated for his teammates. That's but true. As far as him in the slot, I never seen nobody with that second stick. Like, he had like that second stick. Like, he'll make you think he going this way. And I used to sit there and study him like, Jay, like, how are you running full speed and doing this? He like, well, I'm thinking about it before I'm doing it. And I said, oh, you a monster, boy. You thinking about what you're doing before. Nice. And I was young then. So at this point, I'm like, that helped me elevate. Now I'm coming along. I'm thinking about doing shit before I'm doing this. You get what I'm saying? Because, like, you premeditating yourself on the field. So it's like, why you watch film? Because when I get out there, I know what I'm going to do. You get what I'm saying? Like, he was ahead of the game when it came down to knowing where defenders is going to be. Oh, the safety coming down, I know they finna be in cover three. Or they in cover one, he's blitzing off the edge. Mm-hmm. Like, he was very intelligent on the field, bro. And his hands, boy, his hands was like this.
Yeah, right.
The best hands I've ever seen. He catch up off the carpet. I think with Jack, though, what people don't give him his credit for is, you talked about all the guys that you looked at that was super nice that you studied, right?
Right.
But I feel like until he got to the league, he made it okay for these speed dudes to be small, little, on the 65. That's like Iverson size. That wide on the league. Made it possible for these dudes to the Tyreek Hills.
He'd be getting looked at.
Come on. And get them looks and like actually be real wide receivers in the league.
Tavon Austin's. Right.
Come on. When you see dudes like you like, yo, as a cornerback. No, as a cornerback, you see come a dude on. That small.
They wasn't drafting people.
Man, I got
like
him.
That.
Right. He started that whole wave.
So what you saying?
He's saying it.
Paved the way.
I feel like I made it. I wouldn't even say made it cool, but I made it to an extent where these coaches is not going to miss that. Because before, they would miss it. They would let them type of players go.
Yeah.
They going, but now, after me, it's like, hold on. Let us double back and get the 2-2 at Walsh from Louisville to go in.
2-2, exactly.
You get what I'm saying? To the Rams, the Hollywood Browns, the Tyreek Hills. Yep. They wasn't looking at dudes like that before that. Mm. I mean, just think, before me, who was the Steve Smith is the only Marvin Harrison,
but Steve was different.
So if you go look at somebody to play like punt returner, is gonna go back there full time punt returner, bring a different element to the game. Like me and AB argue because they called me one day when they was playing in Tampa. Like, I'm a better explosive player than you. I'm like, hold on, you play
you
with Ben
like
Rodgers.
Just like AB when you said that.
I'm like, hold on, you play with Ben Rodgers, but for 7 years I didn't win through 5-7.
They're the same competitive player.
I didn't went through 5-7 quarterbacks. You play with Ben, but if I had Ben Rodgers, bro, I would have had 20,000 yards.
He did say that.
All right, hold on.
like AB, you a dog. You done some great things, but you not the same punt returner to me. Yeah, you got a couple cool punt returns, but go back to my film since college, high school. We can't come on, bro.
I had one on y'all long in Philly that night too.
No, you did your. You a punt returner, but that's special though. Everybody can't do that though. You did
89.
No, he did his thing. But Pat, talk to me though. Pat. Now I gotta ask you a question though. Be real and let the people know.
Yeah.
What does that take to go do that though? That's different.
It's like driving a car without a seatbelt. Going back and doing the punt return.
I've never did
that. That's like being on a roller coaster with no seatbelt.
No seatbelt.
You feel what I'm saying?
You don't know if you're gonna get knocked out.
Yo, that first year, you was going crazy with that.
Yeah.
2010?
Come on, man.
Eric 6.
Besides Devin Hester, ain't nobody else with me. I mean, you can
fight.
Oh,
you might.
Yes!
No.
I ain't lying.
DJ.
I mean, D-Mitch was cool, too, but
DJ.
Besides,
who?
Besides DJ. D-Mitch.
Name your top five returners, and then, Pac, you can take it wherever you want.
Top five?
Give her guesses.
I'm going to go D-Hess. I'm going to go D-Jack. I'm going to go... I like Brian Mitchell up there. He's a little older, but I go Brian Mitchell. Dante Hall.
Okay. What about Cribs from Cleveland? What about Cribs from Cleveland?
Hold on. Dante Hall, Cribs, he's not really a punt returner.
Did you put Dante Hall in front of me? I love we have seen him every year in college for special team player of the year in the Big East. And he's never had, not 1 year he's been in the league, had more yards than me.
Are you saying he's not like that? Are you saying
hell he no.
Hold up. You not saying he's not like that?
So
if you play cool, but you can't say not
Shady,
like that.
Shady, sit back, Shady.
That's all he did.
I'm about to give you five. He's gonna make my top five, bro.
Bro, I ain't even finna argue with you, bro.
I'm not finna argue with you, bro.
I'm not finna argue with you,
bro. I'm putting you at number five,
bro. He can't like that,
bro. Bro, you're my twin, bro.
The
hall
was crazy.
Come on, man. You put Hall in front of me, real? Oh, my God.
Bro, he was crazy, bro. We have some amazing.
I say Hall was cold, bro.
The human joystick? Why are people sleeping on you?
The only reason people sleeping on me because my first 2 years, I killed everything. Then I got suspended. Mm. When I got suspended, then they started talking about DJ and punt return.
It took you to get suspended?
Hold on, just go back. You first battle of Hall of Fame. We had this conversation earlier. But hold on, let me say what I had to say right now. That's me personally.
We got to bring back Hall of Fame. We got to bring back.
I'm not saying this and that, but what I'm saying is, as far as punt return and athlete wise, the first 2 years, nobody in the NFL was where I was at.
How many did you have?
I think I had all of them.
We need to know. How many touchdowns
did
you have?
Find out.
Six in the first 2 years.
Punt returns.
Punt returns or kick returns too?
Punt returns. I'm talking about
six touchdowns?
Strictly punt returns.
Touchdowns?
Jones. Here's what we got to overcome. We view you as a DB. So when we talk about Pac-Man, we saying, okay, where does he stack up as an all-time great DB?
So, I don't.
Pat was respected at punt return.
He was, for sure.
Hold up.
But I was known. I made more Pro Bowls and Pro Bowl
special teams. Special teams than DB?
No, DB more.
DB more
you
than
still was looked
teams?
At. Hold on, but you still was.
How
you
many you got, bro?
Four?
Return.
No, he was. But what I'm saying is when you think about Adam Pac-Man Jones, you think corner first.
That's what I'm saying. But was they all for DB and special teams?
No, two for DB and one for special teams.
We got the numbers? Can we get the numbers real quick?
You actually beat me. I got five.
John Jackson had a total of four career.
Oh, you didn't beat me.
Touchdowns.
Oh, what, punt returns?
How many I had?
Pac-Man Jones had five.
Four. Yeah. My yards are crazy.
Go look at the mine compared to his.
12.9.
Yeah, like.
Say the video.
You want to go back to college? Because college can't count too? Let's go college.
33. No, ain't no college. He's talking about go college.
8.0. 11.9.
All right, 11. How about this? See what's the yardage? How long? 8. How long? What's the yardage on the punt returns? How long? What's the longest?
I had one against y'all, 82.
All right,
at Philly. That's big. At Philly. 82?
At Philly.
Track me.
Track me.
Yeah.
Track me.
Had just left the club, threw up everywhere after that touchdown.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. at participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
Yeah. Did y'all beat us?
No, yes, we did that night. With all that being said, all those accolades has got to be a lot of hard work and sweat and tears. And I think your dad played a big part in it, from me and your relationship talking about it. Mm-hmm. If you could talk to some of these kids, you know, and you lost your father, that had to be a hard part. Like, how did you cope with that and build from that standpoint?
I think, you know, as a young kid growing up, you know, Los Angeles, California, South Central, you know, the trials and tribulations you got to go through, just the daily life, the daily struggle, not knowing where your next meal going to come from, not knowing how you're going to get to the next football game, track practice, basketball practice, you know what I'm saying? You got moms, pops working, trying to, you know, put food on the table. So, you know, for me, hanging out, you know, my older cousins, older homies, uncles, you get what I'm saying? Big homies, if you call it, whatever you call it, look out for you, give you $5, $10 here and there, stay out the hood, look, you doing the wrong things, you know, try to keep you in the right aspect and right direction. So, you know, as a young kid, I feel like my dad, you know, implemented a great structure around me. You get what I'm saying? Since day one, we had a team. He built the team. You get what I'm saying? From my older brother to young kids that he adopted at the time, that was like, you know, my dad was one of them dads where our door was open to everybody in the hood. Come through, we cooking.
The pillar.
You know, you my son. You come through these doors, you my son. He took a lot of kids under his wing, because, you know, growing up where I came from, a lot of dudes didn't have dads. You get what I'm saying? So my dad was one of them stand-up soldiers. But, you know, for me, man, that when I lost him in, it was 2009, he died of pancreatic cancer. Right after my first year, we went all the way to damn near the Super Bowl. We lost in the NFC Championship to Arizona. And I remember that whole year, you know, he had diabetes, and, you know, he wasn't eating, he was losing weight, and he was sleeping all day. And, you know, he kept blaming on his diabetes. Like, yeah, when I get back to L.A., because, see, my pops was, you know, when my son goes to league, I'm at every game, we in the clubs, I'm driving all your cars, females come holler. You know, my dad was one of them. So that first year when I moved to Philly, I bought a big crib out of Morristown, New Jersey, feet kicked up, cars. He like, I'm coming to stay with you. He said, I ain't staying in L.A.
You was in Morristown?
Yeah, I was in Morristown, South Jersey, North Jersey, South Jersey,
by
Cherry Hill.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? So my pops came out there and stayed with me. And, you know, towards the end of the season, he's just getting real sick. And he was just like, you know, when I get back home, you know, I'm going to go get checked out. And when he went back home to get checked out, it was pancreatic cancer, and it was stage 4. And it was like, you know, it spread throughout his body. It was like, man, he got like 6 months to live. You know, so I remember I was in the NFC Championship game and he was in the hospital. And just how I can remember that time, that feeling, just, you know, my backbone, everything I had, you know, everything we created, you know, I seen him, you know, kind of going down the drain. He was losing weight, getting real skinny. And that was very emotional. But for me, I just knew what my dad implemented me. You know, he wanted me to be the structure of the family, regardless of he there or not. Like, when I lost my pops, it was a lot of people that didn't get along in my family. You get what I'm saying? So at this time, I was the backbone of everybody coming together. Like, it was people in the room that didn't even like each other, but I come in the room, or I got a game, everybody at the game, like, like, you know, we supporting bro. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, it was tough, but I had to keep going, still to this day. You get what I'm saying? Like, I hear his voice. Don't stop and keep going. You know, get what you earn, get what you deserve. You know, go get what's yours, go take what's yours. You feel what I'm saying? That's the mentality I got.
One of the most beautifulest things I've ever seen was your documentary, your film that you put together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that jumps out, right, is your relationship with your pops.
Right.
A lot of us don't have that, you know what I mean? That type of relationship. When I say us, I'm speaking for
men, a lot of them boys.
Millions of men. Right. How did that impact you? How did you deal with it? You know what I mean? Everybody deal with loss a little differently. You know, you had your dad most of your life, mm-hmm, thus far. You know what I mean? He played a major role. Like, I just seen y'all and him challenge you and push you.
Mm-hmm.
That was beautiful, bro.
He trained you, right?
Yeah.
Sure, it took me to train.
How did that impact you? How did you deal with that? How did you cope with it?
Yep. the numbers and the stats, you know, that's just big for year two, because I lost him right at the end of year one. Year two, I came and went crazy. I was his first year. Like, when I tell you Pro Bowl, every, like, plays crazy, 60 yards, like, it was just like something else grew into me. It was like almost like he was that angel that was just guiding me through every step of the way. Like, when I'm on that field, I feel like I had wings. Like, nothing can stop me. You in my face, you the best DB. Darrell Revis is all, watch out, I'm going right by you. Touchdown. Bombs. Antonio Cromartie, bye. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a mentality that installed in me, like, yo, boy gone. Like, you know, Papa Jack out of here.
Papa Jack.
And I knew the conversations we had standing up late, like, Pops was a real one. Pops went against every, if you ain't me, he going at you, your neck. Pulling things out. Like, you said anything about his boy, he coming at you. But that was Pops. Like, you know, he had, and I could speak a little bit specifically when I was at Cal, you know, him and my head coach, Jeff Tefford, they had a real nasty, you know, relationship towards the end of my junior season, you know, and that kind of, you know, I know your boy said whatever he said about the draft stack or whatever, why they didn't think I could play outside, but a lot of that was, you know, some stuff that came out of Cal when I was coming out. You know, a lot of stuff was, you know, oh, the dad is a problem. Because when I got drafted, you don't
Andy
even know
Reese,
it.
I know this, Andy Reese said it to you.
When I got drafted, I'm sitting back. They called me, Andy Reid, get on the phone. He was like, we drafted you with the 49th pick, but I don't want to have nothing to do with your dad. Like, that's his first, he ain't even tell me congratulations. None. His first words was saying, like, your college coach already dogged your dad. Like, I heard he's an issue, he's a problem. Like, he ain't say this, but he basically telling me he don't want to deal with my dad.
Yeah.
But I was telling the kid, like, you know, you calling the kid, I'm calling him to congratulate him. We drafted you, we happy, we excited, let's get to work. I want one in, but we don't want to deal with your dad. And then the documentary show, I'm like, damn, that kind of hurt me. You get what I'm saying? Because I know my dad just wants the best. You got kids, all we want is the best for our kids. And if you a father and you don't want the best for your kids and it's a problem for you wanting the best in your kids, like, what is you being a parent for? So, you know, that's sitting.
How'd you bounce back from that? Because I'll be honest, I may have said.
I would have took some shots right there.
No, I would have said, later, Andy,
it's not worth it.
Say your pick.
Yeah.
Hell no, you ain't gonna say that.
No, like, listen, let me tell you. Listen, time out. The reverence that you have for your father.
Right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And where we come from, a lot of us stand on principle.
For sure.
That's the first thing you saying to me. And listen, I'm not trying to, like, say this is what you should have did or not. But, like, I guess what I'm trying to get to is, like, how did you process that? Because you revere your dad, your father.
Mm-hmm.
You have this deference for your father. You love your father. And then that's the first thing you hear on the biggest night of your life.
Yeah.
Like, how did you process that? How did you look at Andy Reid in that situation?
Honestly, it wasn't his fault. He just taking the information that he heard from where I know the source came from. So for me, it was like I heard it, but I didn't hear it. But it did make me feel away. But at the end of the day, all I can say is Pop's not being here no more. Like, every step of the way just made me feel like I had to prove him right. Like, everything he always said about me, he going to be the coldest thing the NFL done ever seen. Like, everybody going to have to deal with, like, everything he done said, I had to go prove him right. Because if I ain't go prove him right, what type of son I'm going to be?
Mm.
And I knew what I'm capable of doing. I knew what type of dog I was. I knew what I went through. I knew where I came from. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's a hood everywhere. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, South Central Crenshaw, 42nd Street, catching a bus from Crenshaw to Long Beach, going through 100 hoods, Mexicans, Blacks, Compton. Like, it was real. I'm on a train. I'm getting on a train. Banging on me, you either gonna choose or you gonna be with it.
We don't know what that means.
Yeah. Banging on you, you on a train.
No, what I'm saying to you is you gotta understand that. No, listen.
I'm gonna explain it to you, ask the question.
I know, but we know what it means, but there's a million people gonna watch this that don't understand when you say you on a bus and you driving through 100 hoods.
Yeah.
I remember being in Pittsburgh and on the hill and walking through the back because I'm like, I'm from the east side of town.
See, Shady, no. My parents is from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My dad is from the Hill District.
Yep. Listen, my mom been telling me for 10 years that we related, bro.
All right, so listen to this. And
related or not, did your people on your side, hold on real quick. Did your people ever say, like, hey, I think you related to Brandon Marshall?
That's a possibility.
Did anybody ever say that to you?
My mom said something about it before, for sure.
Mama, yeah, I think we related, bro. It's my cousin. Let me hold something.
Hey, but check this out, though. And this is serious. So, for me, bro, what I endured as a young kid, like, literally being a young kid sitting around OGs and homies that's literally committing crimes, selling drugs, dope. Like this, I seen people getting shot, killed in front of my face. You get what I'm saying? Like friends of mine riding a car, coming back from a fair, getting shot at multiple times. Like I grew up, that's how I grew up. You get what I'm saying? I'm not glorifying that, but at the end of the day, that's what I had to go through. And for me to be standing here at the age 35, I didn't think I would make it past 18, 20. You get what I'm saying? In a certain situation, I've been in homies losing, getting killed at parties. Like, it's real. So I'm saying that to say the things I saw, and for me to be where I'm at today, I done surpassed every goal I could have ever thought I could make. But one thing about it, I tell kids all the time, if you dream it, if you envision it, it's possible it won't happen. You got to look up to somebody. You got, like for me, I didn't really have nobody to look up to where I knew it was possible. Like for me to be able to touch you, like, damn, he real. Yeah. Like we looked at as gods.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like they ain't, I was able to go train with Jerry Rice before I got into the league.
Wow, that's big.
When I train, and if I'm lying, when I trained with Jerry Rice before I didn't touch the NFL field, we had the same agent at the time, DeBartolo's. We were signed to DeBartolo's.
DeBartolo's, yeah. That's a Pittsburgh firm, right?
Yeah, they was the owners of Frisco, the 49ers before the new but they crazy. They got real estate everywhere, biggest real estate ever. Before I touched the NFL field, I trained with Jerry Rice in the Bay Area. He said, run every route. I ran every route for him. He ain't even critique me. He ain't say nothing to me. He said, run every route. I ran every route. Guess what he told me?
What?
My boy said, well, I don't even want to tell you one thing on one route. I don't want to say nothing to you about no. I want to tell you one thing about one route, and it's a speed out, the 5-yard speed out. He said, you're running too fast. Slow down. Once he told me that, I'm like, what you mean slow down? He said, look, you fast as hell. Well, when you find out, he said, when you find out how to run these routes and not be full speed, you gonna kill that. He said, I just left it. Jerry Rice just told me all he wanted to say was one route.
Right.
I said, it's over.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill the NFL. Yeah. I'm gonna kill the NFL.
Yeah.
What? But I mean,
was he right?
Hell yeah, he was right. Cop, but bro, you know you a receiver and you're not as fast as me, but you're a bigger kind of guy, fast. so you know how to control your way in and out of breaks. Yeah. For me, once I figured out I could run a route and be under control and still be able to hit that gear like your boy said when I need to. But when I come out, he tell you when I run my routes, it don't even look like I'm moving. Oh, then out of nowhere, I'm gone.
Right.
He be like, oh, hold the fuck. Like,
yeah, you're too late then.
You get what I'm saying? So I just figured out the way to run my routes and be under control. And then when I need to hit, I had to hit. Bro, I don't even run my routes full speed. But when I got to go get it, I got to go get it.
Right.
And y'all documented all that. Like when he was younger, your pops. Your pops was like really the first dad, like the ball dad.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Because, I was telling your boys earlier, like, mm-hmm. y'all, I wish, like, when I started meeting you and all that, I already knew about you from the All-American camps.
Right.
I don't know if you was an All-American or not, but we share that in common. But anyway, real talk. On the All-American camps, like, your brother,
mm-hmm. Byron.
His brother, Byron, be all nice. The camera.
The cameras and coordinating. You wish you'd ask my
So look, check it out. So his dad will be training, right? He be just showing he all young, you know what I'm saying?
Pissed off, little stick.
But his dad had his brother recording everything. So his whole documentary came together, like young kid. Then he went I'm sure your dad and them recorded the thing with Derrick Rice.
Yeah, all that.
So now it's like, in his mind, his dad already putting his head like,
you're
gonna be this, you're gonna be a star. He's telling him it, mm-hmm, he's showing him
for
it.
Sure.
High school, college.
Every step of the way.
The league. And I'm like, damn, watch my when he's 50. And he got family now. You know what I mean? You growing up.
For sure.
When they see that, I'm like, my dad was really that guy. Cause they're not gonna see like the Deshaun that we know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but all that, but like the document that that's lovely, bro.
How are you continuing your father's legacy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So how does that show up in your parenting? Man. How is that showing up in where y'all come from?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think first and foremost, I'm a firm believer as having kids and having, seed. I look at kids as like you plant a seed, right? And you watch it blossom, you watch it grow. For me, looking at my kids, I got two boys, age of 6 and 3. My oldest son right now, like, I don't want him to play football. I'm trying everything in my life to just put a basketball, baseball. He like, Pops, I want football. I want to play ball. But it's like he's seen his dad, be that guy, coming to games, going on. Like, he witnessed that. So, for me, I'm like, I wish I could get him to play another sport. But it's like it's instilled in him. But for me, it's just I'm so excited about having the opportunity to put that timing that my dad put in with me with my kids. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Taking them to the field. You know, I took them out to the track with my coach, Coach Gary, you know, one of the best track coach in the world. That's why another reason why I'm going to talk about my speed, because I feel like I was trained by one of the best, Gary Comblain. Yeah. You know, there was an Olympian track coach at the Philippines. His pops, Coach Jerry, was a Hall of Fame all-time coach. But, you know, just installing that, I took my son out there to the field, and he out there just running all day. I'm like, I was going out there to throw him the ball. He go over and see the track coach and the other kids over there running. He like, man, I want to run on the track. But it's just seeing, like, having kids, like, all of us right here have kids. It's like everything we were. Our kids is turning into it. We want them to be better than we were.
That's right.
You get
right.
what I'm That's saying? What it's like about. They just, it ain't even like we doing anything. It's like all they know is just this is what it is. Like it's in the DNA, it's in the blood. Like they don't know nothing else.
Right.
That's the growth. You know, that's the legacy I'm carrying on. You know, just keeping that down to my kids and just passing what I've been taught. And not only my kids, other kids too. You know, like me and Big Bro was talking about, I got a Pop Warner organization that I do here in, you know, Southern California with kids and just giving back and pulling them out these areas to let them know something else to live for. Because you get caught in these traps, bro, it get ugly.
Speaking for that, you know, we lost Nipsey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell us a little part about how instrumental, how close you guys was. And, you know, he was a big part of the culture, you know.
Yeah, man. Nip, man, was, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, I saw Nip before Nip. You know, I knew him as Ermias.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, curly hair, pretty boy, fly. Wasn't the gangbang neighborhood Nip Hustler that we knew. You get what I'm saying? I knew him as just the kid, the hustler. Like, he always was a hustler. That's how he got the name Hustle. We was in middle school. We was going to Audubon. We went to Crenshaw. You know, he always selling some candy, the red vines. Like, he or Sour Patch. Like, he always had candy. Something about Nip that just always wanted to hustle. So he
you
had
was
that.
Older than Nip?
Nah, me and Nip, we right around the same age.
So you grew up with Nip?
Yeah, me and Nip. Yeah, we grew up in the same neighborhood. He out the 60s. I'm out the 40s. You know what I'm saying? We literally, like, 15, 20 blocks away from each other. But when I tell you that's walking distance, like literally right down the street, we hung out together, party. Like we, you know, that's like my brother. You get what I'm saying? And
you let me hear him years ago.
I used to put me on Philly on Nip. Yep, yep. Bro, but 2008, 2009, 2000, before Nip was anything, bro. When he had the $100 mixtape, Jay-Z bought 1,000 of them, like the Nip that the world didn't know, like that was my boy. So I'm saying this to say, like, he always had the hustler mentality. You know, his folks was from over there in Ethiopia, you get what I'm saying? At Retrans and all that, he used to take me out to eat. We used to go eat. He had a spot down there in downtown. He's like, bro, just pull up on. We're going to go to the studio and play you some of this new music. We just going to go eat. Me and bro. And we used to just talk, man. His mind was just so elevated in the things he saw, what he wanted to implement in the community. You know, sectional housings, you know, stuff that like McCoy's doing now. Like,
just, houses,
you get what I'm saying? Like, all that type of stuff. And it was just like, bro, it's bigger than his time. You know what I'm saying? And it hurt to see bro go out like that, because he was one, like, he didn't feel forced to go hang out in the hood. You get what I'm saying? Where he died at was literally where he brought it up and grew. You get what I'm saying? And it was like, you couldn't take him away from that. But, you know, he was one of them dudes where it was like, he knew what he wanted to get out of it. And sometimes, say, you done lived so much and you outgrew yourself, he really felt like, bro, my time is my time. Like, his grandma, it was a story, like, his grandma had called, I don't know if it was grandma or his mom, I think it might have been his mom. His mom called and was like, something don't feel right. Like, I feel like something's gonna happen to you. Like, a couple weeks before he got killed, you know, right at the store. And it was just like, she just kind of felt something, you know what I'm saying? And when he died, he was 33, that's when Jesus died. Like, it's a whole lot of stories on that, but it's just like, man, bro was a mogul, man, he was a GOAT. And, you know, we had a lot of things we was going, you know, up and run. I'm still going to try to get it accomplished. You know, I'm real connected with Black Sam as Big Bro. And, you know, just keeping the marathon continue, bro. You know how it is. TMC continues, man.
When you heard the news, where were you?
Man, I was downtown. I was actually, I was in my high rise downtown 2018. I remember summer chilling right around, like, what was it, March? We died in March, end of March. At the crib chilling, and everybody called me because this boy BH, like, was best friend, called Boss Hog. I actually had called him because I'm thinking Boss Hog gonna be with him. Somebody sent me a video. They like, damn, Nip got shot up at the store, and I'm like, man, like, now I don't believe that, bro. So it surfaced like 10, 20 minutes later, it surfaced, and then the video gets sent out, and I get a video. And at that day, I remember seeing a picture. He took a picture with a little kid. He had on some white to white Nikes with the tall socks with some red shorts and a white shirt with the white do-rag on. And I seen the picture earlier and I said, damn, so I see the video, is bro getting stretched out on the stretcher, shaking and shit. I'm like, damn, that's bro. But at the time we didn't know, like, you know, he was dead. Like they said it was, you know, it was life threatening, but we didn't really know to the extent that he was gonna, you know, check out like that. And few hours later, they're like, yeah, he died. And it's just, man, that funeral, bro. I actually wasn't in town when they had the funeral, but that funeral, nothing never before. When you talk about a hood celebrity and a hood mogul, bro, people from all across the world came out here to that. Yep. Bro, when I tell you that funeral at, now it's the Crypto Arena, back then it was the Staples Center, bro, everybody was there. Boy, you'd have thought it was it was bigger than the Laker game. Boy, it had so many people in there from all the biggest of big, bro. But yeah, man, it was sad to see that go out like that, man.
It's crazy, because 2018, that's when Victory Lap came out.
Victory Lap, yeah. That was his album.
But I was in New York. And I got cut from the Giants. Mm-hmm. And every morning I would drive from Brooklyn to out to Oakland, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And every morning that's what I was listening to.
Yeah. Yeah. He teach a lot too. Bro, I love Nip on. Even like the real estate, he just trying to put everybody on, like owning and having ownership. He talk
what
about
year,
that. Right?
What year did I literally put you on Nip though?
Like was 2009.
It was 2009. Huh?
Like, man, I didn't get on Nip until 2018, bro.
Nah. I had to force it down these.
He did, yo. Because some of that stuff, like even when I met Jack, the West Coast, they different. Like, the stuff they believe in, all that.
Facts.
So, like, I'm like, look, man, I don't know nothing about nothing
you
talking about.
Right, right.
Down four.
Yeah, right, right.
But, like, as I got older, listen to the stuff, he was such like the marathon, right? Victory Lap. Mm-hmm. That kind of, like, he's teaching. You know what I'm saying? So, I started liking him. Like, yo, this dude, he rapping. He teaching. He a smart dude, very intelligent. And then, like, sure. The culture part. He was big for the culture. You can see how, like, he was bringing so many people together. You right. know what I'm saying? Because I'm not from LA, but you know, different sets and colors.
Everybody
and all
came
that.
Through
but
for that.
But he was kind of everybody. Like he had the was it YG?
Mm-hmm.
They had the little
blood YG and the Crip, like, Crip and Blood to come together.
Right.
Together, you know what I mean? Like, that's big.
Yeah, he was on something.
The YG and Nip thing. People that know Nip really know, but so it was a video. It was but it was that song right with him and YG, and it was a video. But Nip brought YG. He tried to have YG come to the hood into the Crips. And at that time, like, you got to get approval by the big homies. Like, yeah. You got to holler at the older homies to do it. And at that time, Nip didn't do that. Because Nip was on rapping, he was footing himself. So he had YG and some blood homies come over into the 6-0s and tried to get a version of the video. And Nip OG homies was tripping. Like, nah, he can't come over here. He ain't straight. Like, they enemies. Like, they can't come over here. So Nip end up having to have a structural DP put on. So a DP is called a discipline. His older homies didn't like that he did that without chiming in with the older homies and saying, like, is it cool we do this? And it was actually a real situation.
This is a lot right here.
But like you said, though, but doing certain stuff, and was like, I'm messing with the other side, I'm doing certain things. But it's like, he was just so powerful.
Bigger than
that,
right?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't tripping off that. Like, right. We coming together on some bigger
money, shit. Making business.
So you know that, like, what you just said is over a lot of people's head. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. We talk about where we come from.
Yeah.
Pack, same thing, where you come from, Atlanta. A lot of people don't understand, like, your upbringing and where you come from, the culture. You know what I'm saying? You, LA, we talking about LA, bro. Do you think that, you know, like the NFL understand us?
Hell no. You see how they did me in 2013?
Hold on. That's 2013. I'm asking that question. Do you think that the NFL understand us more mm-hmm. and they're more open-minded to where we come from?
See how they did, bro?
Because you still active. Do you see a difference?
I'm going to speak on Big Bro. He had to go through and the suspensions and all the stuff of just him being himself. How he supposed to? Like, yeah, I understand. Okay, we got to be professional. We got to come in and do a certain thing. But when you come from the areas we come from, we don't know nothing else. You giving us millions of dollars and you expect this just to change overnight? It's not going to happen. It's impossible.
That's true.
Never going to happen.
You get what I'm saying? So it's like the shit I went through in 2013.
It's crazy.
You go back and dig up some from 2008, when one of my best friends gets on a murder case and he beats murder and he comes home and I go pick him up from the county jail. I'm not supposed to go pick my brother up because he beats murder. I'm supposed to just turn my back on him because I'm Deshaun Jackson, have an NFL contract. My brother just beats murder. He's free. And I can't go pick him up from the courthouse. And the picture they pull up and say, oh, look at him. He's supporting gang members and he's hanging out. He's a thug and he's a criminal. Like, bro, this is my brother from the sandbox. But it's like they expect us, we just supposed to sign our name on this dotted line and get all this money. And we just supposed to turn our back to our people that's really out there hurting and don't got a cent in their pocket. So, I mean, you know, I'm not one of them. It's people that just have done that. They signed their line and got on and said, oh, I'm changing. I'm never going to be the same. I can't do that, bro. I'll be fake as hell. That ain't me.
So, athlete, I mean, we lost a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Especially in hip-hop. So, whether it's athlete or artists, like, what kind of advice would you give to them as far as, like, how you navigate through when you make it and you on?
For sure.
How to move forward and elevate and still be who you know what I'm saying, who you are.
Man,
like, what kind of advice would you give, right? Because you are 100% correct. That's why I asked the question. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up with this person. This is who I am. This is where I come from. I just happened to make it.
I think
but so. It's tricky because it's like you keep going back. You understand?
No, for sure. I think it's a happy medium. It's a give or take. You get what I'm saying? Like me, I look at it like this. Like, I done lost millions of dollars. Like, I done spent all types of money on friends, family, trips, clubs. Bro said, you know, he can't, not like that, but he could do it if he wanted to, but he ain't spending $30,000 at the club like he's still getting 10 a year.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. That's not smart. So for me, it's like you got to get out your system. If you never know that you walk through this door, you're going to hit your head on that wall. You never know it's a wall right there. So you can't just act like, oh, yeah, I'm about to just walk and I don't see nothing, like it's clear as day, but no, it's a brick right here. And you keep doing it, you're going to knock yourself out. You get what I'm saying? It's with anything, you know? And I think it's a gift and a curse because we come from, we get some lots of money.
Yep.
How are we supposed to believe in the dude we never met to go be my agent and my financial advisor? And I'm going to give you all my money and I'm going to believe in you and trust you that you're going to make the right financial investments and financial literacy and tell me, oh, I need to invest in this when this market about to go up and, oh, this market go down, get your money out. Like, we not taught that. So we got to go find out. We might got to go lose a million. We got to go might lose $100,000 to find out that. But the best thing I can say is the advice I got now, I'm able to be more critique because I know. I done hit my head too many times. So now I'm able to go get these young kids the game. Hey, young kid, come here. I don't want you to go through what I went through. I'm going to give you the game. I ain't going to be a hater like these other dudes because they want you to lose money. They want you to fall on your face. I ain't that. I'm a real one. So at the end of the day, you got to go through it. You got to fall. You got to have cuts and scratches to be able to patch them up to get
back
up.
Come on, brother. Yes, sir.
I mean, you grown though. Like, I remember hanging out with you in Philly. You know what I'm saying? I had my little crew, and that's like hometown for me. Well, you not.
And he
had like 30, 40 people with him. But I love how like the transition from being that, you coming in with two dudes.
Mm-hmm.
That's big.
For sure.
Like the growth.
Two dudes on payroll though, working, trying to help change their lives and their families. You get what
but
I'm saying?
How'd you really get to that?
I think me having kids was the ultimate pivoted time of my life where it's like, bro, I'm not just giving handouts no more. Like, I got kids. If I'm gonna go give you $10,000, $20,000, $5,000, I'm already gonna get under my kid. I'm gonna go set up a fund for my kids so when you go to college, you straight.
Right.
Pay free. So it's just things like that where it's like, bro, I tell homies all the time, bro, you can be mad at me all you want. You can do whatever. I don't even care. Bro, I got kids. Bro, you go get your own and go work. Now, if you want to talk about some work, I can help you get a job.
Word of the day, J-O-B.
I can help you get a job. Hey, I can take you to the, I can lead you to the water. I can't make you drink it.
Right.
Lead a horse to the water. I can't make him drink it.
Now, we talked probably a couple, during the season, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And we were just talking about, because I just retired, right? And you still was playing.
No, you ain't retired. You can still go play.
And like, you was
he can't play.
Like, it's over with for him.
Man, my brother, bro, he was on two Super Bowl teams, and I was calling him mad. Like, why you ain't playing? Because I know he still got it.
That's his right calf.
I don't care about none of that, bro.
That's a great question, though, because look, he FaceTiming me like, yo.
Hot.
He's like, yo, man, they not playing me. And when he did play, he making plays. But I said, Jack, when you get older, they want you to be this mentor, the guy that they bring in there.
That's why I left.
And then you asked for a trade.
Yeah.
What led to that decision?
Man, goddamn, bro. So this my thing, bro. Sean McVay, we talked about him a little bit. You know, he's a hell of a coach, you know. And
LA Rams.
I said this on the interview not too long ago with Sports Illustrated. I don't know if y'all got competitive word, but yeah, I did an interview. And I specifically spoke. So me and Trent Williams was actually in Washington when he was the offensive coordinator.
Oh, that's
Jay,
right.
When Jay Gruden was the head coach, Sean McVay was our offensive coordinator. Me and Trent Williams was the two big. He talked about bodyguard like Jason Peters. Trent Williams is the next thing closer than, and they might heel to heel.
Big Trent.
Trent is the dog. But me and Trent was, we was his boys in Washington. So they called me and Trent Williams. Just ask Trent Williams, if I'm lying, ask Sean McVay. If you talk to him, ask him. They called and asked us the owner, whatever the owner's names of the Rams.
Cronky.
The Cronkies.
Steve Cronky?
Yes.
Cronky.
The Cronkies, they called. At the time I was with Joe Siegel's my agent. They called me, I was like, man, what you feel about Sean McVay? How is he as a head? How is he as a coach? Do you think he will, like, you know, I had to get on the, advocate for him. You get what I'm saying? Like, I had to get up there and like, you know what, he's this type of coach. He could do this. And actually, I feel like I had parts in him getting that job for the Rams. So fast forward, when I was in, where the hell was I at? I was in Philly, and I knew I was finna be a free agent because they wasn't gonna bring me back that next year because I had the injuries or whatever. I actually had a chance to talk to him, and he was like, yeah, man, we gonna bring you in. I know what you can still do. You can play. I seen the film. Like, you know, you're going to be our deep threat. Because you remember, that's when they lost Brandon Cooks the year before I came. So it's like, yeah, you know, it's going to be perfect. Woo-woo. So I come there. We do all the stuff. We make out the deals. Like, I don't know how it's going to work. But if it works, it's going to be awesome. So I come in and it's like, you know, I'm going to be their deep threat. And they're going to use me. They had all these plans for me to do it. And it was like training camp going crazy. Me and Matthew Stafford, we got our blockbuster quarterback. He's here.
And you know, he said that about you, too.
Yeah, we in training camp. We going crazy, bro. When I tell you from... We practicing versus the Cowboys. We bombing them wherever they at. Wherever they practice somewhere out here, we going out to Oxnard. We going out there and bombing them. You know, the red, you know, I'm on my Philly days. Y'all can't fuck me. I'm on my shit. Going out there bombing these young dudes. Trayvon did. What's his name? Trayvon? Yeah, that's my little bro. Love him to death, but he know.
He got it
to this day. He got
crazy work.
Crazy work. You know, that's my little bro. Respect this game. He is a dog. But you know, when D-Jack out there, you better get GTB. Get the back.
Yeah.
GTB. Yeah. And they know. You get what I'm saying? When you playing versus me, you better GTB. If you're not, you bombs over Baghdad. So I'm saying all to say, you know, it was a plan and everything was going good. And it was like training camp, go look it up. All last season training camp, you going crazy. Oh my God, this dude still can run. He's 34. What the hell is going on? And it's like I get to the season. First few games was a little slow. I go into his office, I holler, I'm like, yeah, Coach, what's up? You brought me here for a reason. I ain't really getting no looks. What's up? You know what, you're right. Boom. Third game of the season.
He said that too.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers come to town. Go crazy.
Yep.
3-for-1, some 75-yard touchdown, go crazy. And then after that, kind of just died down. It was just like he kind of almost like shut me up. Like, yeah, let me give you this and just shut you up. And then after that, it was like I had a big play versus Seattle. And after that, it was kind of like it just started dying down. I'm like, damn, Coach, what's up? Like, I know we got a good relationship. Like, we really, like, you my boy. Like, he 35. He's my same age.
Yeah,
we the same age.
Is,
like,
yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, we can relate. What's up? Holla at me. And it was just like, I'm having a hard time finding a role for you. You know, like, I don't know. Like, you know, and I'm like, Coach, like, you don't force it. Like, you know, that's the last thing I want you to be doing is trying to find a role for me. Like, I wanted to come here and be the best I can to help the team win and do all the, you know, the great. And it's just like, man, it kept kind of work. It kind of just kept fading out. And I could just see, like, he was trying to work it out, but he, you know, it was making him uncomfortable. So it was like an elephant. I was like, I became the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. Where it was like, I know he's the best player. You get what I'm saying? It's just like, I can't just have him here and I'm not utilizing him. So I'm like, you know what, Coach? I just came in. I'm like, man, like, if it ain't going to work, like, I'm at home. Like, where the stadium is, I literally played Pop Warner. Like, I was a little kid playing in that backyard right there. Like, it meant more to me to even say I played for the Rams. Here in SoFi Stadium, like, that goes down to that's one of my checked off the list. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, things just didn't work out. So I went in the office and he was just like, yeah, man, you know, I can't even look in your face and tell you this. It's killing me. Like, I can't do this to you. Like, I feel like I'm being a disservice to you. He's like, man, like, you know, call your agency if we can find this team for you and woo-woo. But, you know.
Oh, he brought to your attention.
Yeah, because, you know, it was one of the situations where he knew. It's like, you know, you tell somebody something. It's like you ain't even holding up your word. It's like.
And y'all cool.
Yeah, and it's like I would be, like, faking a disservice to you because I don't want to continuously have you sit here and I know you still feel like you can play this game.
In the media, he did say, he said, you know what, it's my fault because I didn't get DeSean Jackson more involved.
Exactly.
Then the one game you went off.
Exactly.
That's why I was confused. Like, yo, he just went for 100 yards.
Right.
Matter of fact, against the Bucks,
Tampa Bay,
they was tripping. It was close game.
Super Bowl winners.
And then, he took off to get going.
Right.
So and I didn't get that part.
I could have had three touchdowns. I had one. I could have had three touchdowns because Stafford missed me twice.
Yeah.
I'm wide open.
Yep,
I could have had over 200 yards. Easy.
So then you get to Vegas.
Raiders, and you,
but that's what I'm saying.
The first or second game, you do the same thing though.
Thursday night again, another Thursday night versus the Cowboys.
So I know, Pac, you want to jump in here.
Yard.
I know, but this is what I want to say to you, bro. Are you done?
Man, honestly, man.
You're not done.
Hold on. Are you done? Hold on. No, are you done?
You got to be the right situation.
Let me have to speak to him.
Big brother.
He ain't done yet.
I got a lot of fuel in this run.
He ain't done, bro. I'm telling you.
Okay, let's answer the question. Are you done?
Ain't the right team ain't called knocking yet. But guess what? It's going to take somebody not like that, because I wish no one to get hurt. It's going to take one of these dudes to get hurt, and they're going to be calling me. Like, you know how the NFL is, bro. They don't need me right now. They got the young dudes. All these young dudes.
All right, here's my point to you.
They don't need me.
Okay, that's fine. Here's my point to you. You're not done.
I'm not done. I got one. I want to get to 15, and I'm done.
Okay, but maybe it's three. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
You're right.
You're not done.
You're right.
So what I'm saying is, when you get to this age and Pac can say the same thing, bro, your mind, like, because of the politics and the situation, like, you know, does this team want me? Does this quarterback vibe with me? Don't do that. You're going to f*** it up.
Right.
What I'm telling you right now, go back to that we saw in the documentary,
mm-hmm.
Work your f***ing ass off. And I don't like cursing like this, but I'm saying it because I want you to really feel and understand me. Pause.
For sure.
Work your ass off, okay? Your number's going to be called. Be ready mentally. Be ready physically.
Let me ask you a question. I got to stop you, though. I hear you 100%.
You know that.
How on God? Because I you sound like my older brother right now, and it's my older brother, Byron. It's like, you know, it's beating you. It's like a dick. Like, how are you mentally? Yes, I could be mentally prepared all the time. But if I'm not physically, as wide receiver, it's hard to be ready when your number's called, and I've been sitting on the sideline for 8 plays, and my hamstrings, I'm a fast dude. I'm not engaged in the game. I could ride the bike all day. I could go do it. It's not the same as getting on the field and having to run and turn to that next gear. I ain't.
Yes, it is.
So my thing is, that's been the challenging part. How do I stay ready mentally, physically engaged? Because I go out there on the field, like last year, when I'm not playing every play, because as a wide receiver, you got to be in the flow of the game. If you don't get a ball, and it's thrown at you, drop that. Like, damn, I need that catch to get going.
So you asked me the question as far as, like, how do you stay ready?
When you ain't out there and you being a receiver, you know, being out there and being in the midst of a game is different.
Have you been through that, B?
Yes, I've been through it.
What team?
And Pac been through it, too.
Yeah.
My last year.
Woo-hoo.
I got cut in 2017 by the Giants first. We are all of us sitting here.
Yeah.
We all, like, I say this respectfully and humbly, we legends.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, me and you can banter all we want, but at the end of the day, I salute you.
Yeah, please.
We all legends.
You need to.
You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to it, we all meet our end. And meaning, like, you're going to be cut or injury happen, and it's over.
Well, I ain't get cut.
But at the end of the day, but you sat on the bench for a very long time.
I ain't get cut, though. I ain't never
get cut. Yeah, okay, you sat on the bench. That was your end.
I ain't been cut.
You ain't been cut?
When I'm old, I never get cut.
But you was on the bench, though, Shady.
Every year, your deal out.
Shady. When he was young?
Shady. You know, you know what happened? Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you?
What they do? They let you.
Bro, you did get cut, bro.
Hold on.
We was just talking about this.
In the Bills,
I was making
$7.5 million.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, last year.
Yeah, we ain't doing that.
You said you should have took a pay cut.
I
got cut. What are you talking about? They cut you.
Nah,
you got cut, Shady.
I elected to leave.
You elected to leave. It was over.
You were still in the contract.
I didn't play.
He could have taken the pay cut.
Hold on, first of all, Kansas City. I came and started in Kansas City, and then I didn't play at the end of the year. And then the Bucks, I didn't play.
You could have.
I never got cut.
G shit.
I say no.
I know, but it was basically it was respect for you, though. It was respect for you.
You got cut twice.
Andy Reid loved you, so Andy Reid come save you. Andy Reid come to you.
You got cut twice, right?
Huh?
You got cut twice.
Three times.
Look. I'm not playing, but we're not going to cut you.
Three times, but it was like bang, 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 bang. This is what Shady's saying. In high school, we all been there.
High school.
A chick come to us, and they say, I'm done with you. And then we turn around and say, no, I'm done with you.
I had a pay cut. They didn't tell me. They cut you off.
That's what they did. That's what
you
did.
They're going to pay me $3 million. I said, no.
So with the legacy that you've built, always, the longest touchdown, the most yards, deep ball threat. Now that you officially have a ring, will you wear the ring?
For me, I didn't want to be on a Super Bowl team and not play. You get what I'm saying? Like, I would rather, like, leave and go try to go win and go do something else on my own and play in the game than besides sit on the Rams and just sit back and just say, oh, I was on the team that won a Super Bowl and I ain't make an impact in that game. You get what I'm saying? So, for me, that was my mental on me leaving L.A. Because everybody cruised, oh, you
should. Outside, would you have changed it?
Low-key, I probably would have because certain injuries came apart. Robert Woods tore his ACL. Then they came and brought Odell, and Odell ended up getting hurt in the game. So I feel like if I would have just kind of, like, not said nothing and just sat and just if they played me, they played me, I would have ended up probably playing, you know, and developing into a different role. But the competitor in me, I wouldn't have changed nothing. You get what I'm saying? Now, as far as me growing and being the older person, it's like in my career, like, you older, you know, they don't need you as much. They got the Cooper Cups. They got the Robert Woods, you know, the Van Jefferson. You know, they had other things that was working good for them before I got to the Rams. So, in hindsight, I could have looked and took the back row. Like, me coming here, I knew I wasn't going to be the number one receiver. Let's just be real. I knew they paid me $6 million. I wasn't finna come in. They paying Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods $14-plus million. I knew I wasn't finna come in and be the guy. I just wanted my role and play it to the best of my ability. So, I mean, that was just my thinking. But and as far as am I done, like I said, I ain't putting that out there right now. I still feel like I got gas in my tank. Go put the number one corner on me and go ask him, you know. Ask Jalen Ramsey about some of the work, you know, we did in training camp. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying that to say I got fuel in this tank still, bro. That Ferrari just need to be in the garage a little bit, but on Sundays I'll pop them out here and there.
Hey, you spoke on Cooper Kupp, mm-hmm. right? I think a lot of people, especially wide receivers, like I meet different, not meet, but talking to different wide receivers and players, I feel like they don't give him his respect.
DJ?
No. Cooper Kupp. And I want to ask you, because one thing Jack going to shoot me straight. Like, what's the real deal with Cooper Kupp? Is it the system? Is he really like that? Honestly.
Nah, so this is my take on Cooper Kupp. And when I first came to the Rams, you got to think, Cooper Kupp, he was good, but he ain't do what he just did this past year. This year he just had, this past year right here goes down in the history of the NFL. Yeah. Like, he got
one of the best.
What is it? The three? What is it called? The three?
The triple crown.
Yeah,
that's unheard of. But the dude works
catches, touchdowns, and yards.
The dude works hard. The dude is in the weight room. The dude is out at the field after practice. Like, he blocks. Like, he, everything about him is top tier. And I saw his work. You get what I'm saying? So for me as a receiver, and I'm seeing him, like, now the system plays a big part. I ain't going to take that. Now, everything in that playbook is 85% Cooper Kupp. And then if everything else don't work down, Matt Stafford got to figure out the 15%. But a lot of stuff is planned for him to do his thing. But he's a dog. He a beast. I ain't going to take that away from, like, the way he gets in and out of breaks, the way he sticks. Like, the option route, that's the hardest route. And you a DB. You know, the option route is one of the Edelmans, the Wes Walkers. That route, it's the hardest thing in football to guard. You got three options to go when a dude playing you man. You going to win. Come on, bro.
Right.
You going to win. Now, going deep and all the other stuff is just people ain't thinking that he going to do it. But he's deceiving speed is fast. He's deceiving speed is like he up on you and going by you. The dude with me when they played the Bucks in Tampa, like how everybody saying, like, how do you get beat by Cooper Kupp down the field 50 yards down the like that, because he's doing so much. He's in and out of motions, going here, going to, like, it's just so much stuff in that place.
Is he the best wide receiver in the league right now?
No, he's not number one. But would you put him in your top three? He's not number one.
He's top five. I'll put him top five.
Give me your top five.
I got Davante Adams.
He's nice.
Mike Evans.
Yeah, Mike.
Ooh.
Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
I go Cheetah. Honestly, I'm in between Cooper Kupp and either the two boys from LSU, Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase at five.
Damn,
facts. I like that one. Cooper Kupp in the top five, but I like that one.
You ain't got the boy from Arizona in there when he was
He was, but he kind of like...
Can't run no more
He kind of fell off a little
He ain't never been able to run. What are you talking about?
D-Hop a dog, though. D-Hop a dog. He could be in there, but, you know,
last year was a down year. But
yeah, because he was hurt. But before that, by far.
Yeah, right.
D-Hop for sure, though. But like I said, so much talent right now in the NFL, bro. Like, this era is different right now,
LSU dudes is crazy. Them young boys?
It's different.
Them young boys is crazy, them LSU dudes.
What's your top five?
You just name, like, it's hard.
All right, let me ask you this then. Go back to when we was playing.
Yeah.
Or while you was in the NFL, who was your top five?
Give me the year.
Call it 2013, 2015. I don't know. Call it 2011.
2011. Shit, I was with the Miami Dolphins. My first year with the Miami Dolphins. 80, boom, boom, boom. Andre Johnson was up there. Larry Fitzgerald was up there. Steve Smith was up there during that time. This is no particular order.
Yeah.
Anquan Boldin was there during that time. He was a dog.
Hell yeah.
You still had Reggie Wayne. You had, who am I missing? 2011.
Was Reggie Chad Wayne.
Chad was still playing.
Chad was still playing, but that was.
T.O. wasn't really playing like that.
T.O. was playing was like he? That.
Yeah, Dallas 2010.
I'm missing one. I'm missing one big name. I know top I'm missing five. One big name. Pac, help me. Help me. Who am I missing?
Oh, Jackson.
Because that was the year Megatron.
Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, even Roddy White was balling that year, too.
That era was our era,
the big receiver era.
For sure.
That year, what you talking about, 2010, 2011, right? Like, it's a copycat league.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Right? So it's like, okay, the big receivers is in right now.
It's in the boom, speed.
And then you
right
come
now.
In, yeah. And then you change it, and then now everybody, like, oh, we got to go speed, take the top off. So I would say that time.
Plexico Burris.
Yep. Well, he did.
Hines Ward.
Oh, my goodness.
Hines Ward.
Right. So I would go big.
That was the end of Hines Ward.
But he was a dog. Hines Ward was a dog.
You saw all these wideouts. Is my boy a Hall of Famer?
DJ.
DeSean Jackson. Is he a Hall of Famer?
No, you asked DJ.
I just went to Google.
I'm asking DJ, you a Hall of Famer?
How can I be?
How can you be or can't you be?
How can't I be?
That's what I want to know. What you think?
I'll be honest with you.
Please be honest.
I always want to be real.
Mm-hmm.
Only know that one.
Mm-hmm.
This fool talking about, I got called a fool.
What?
No disrespect. Just stay with me real quick before you judge me.
Okay.
This dude, D-Jack this, D-Jack that.
Yeah.
And the first thing I said was what?
How many yards he had.
I said, let me see the numbers.
Yeah, and he looked said, at the
I
numbers.
Was shocked that you had 11,000 plus career yards. Shocked. Now, doing my work, because, like, you know what I'm saying? I know who you are. I know the impact you made on the game, but we talk about being one of the best of all time. I need to look at the numbers. I need to really study the game. I'm not just going to come out here and say yes or no. After you, the last couple weeks, been talking about D-Jack, I would say this. Yes.
That's real.
Yes.
That's real. You know what I'm saying? I helped you out, right?
You helped me.
That's right. That's what I do.
You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Pac. It's the same thing with Pac. Like, Pac is fighting for himself. Like, not fighting for himself, but he's doing the same thing.
So I got to get this off, because this is a big point to me, too, and I make the argument all the time. As a running back, your argument is different. As a running back, he gets the ball handed to him. He don't need a great quarterback to hand him the ball. As a wide receiver, we depend on our quarterbacks. How many different quarterbacks have I played with? What's the longest I played with one quarterback?
Tell us.
2 years. All these dudes just played with Matt Ryans and Roethlisbergers and
but we had
like for 7-8 years. Aaron if I Rogers, had one consistent quarterback, that's all I'm saying. Give me one consistent quarterback for 6 years.
I had 17.
I can't give you that, Jack.
I know, you had a lot, but I'm saying.
You my man, I can give you that.
Give me what? What am I saying is wrong?
Okay, let's give
you had good quarterbacks though.
What quarterbacks?
I'm saying I did, but I'm saying he had McNabb for 2 years or 1 year. He had Vic.
What he's saying is this is like the chemistry continuity. Even you go to Megatron. Megatron, how long was he with Stafford? You know, you talk about Julio Jones, how long was he with Matt Ryan? Mm-hmm. You talk Aaron about Rodgers. Jerry Rice, how long was he with Joe Montana, Steve Young?
Right.
You understand? You talk about Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison, how long was he with Peyton Manning?
Right. Exactly.
You understand?
Okay. I got you.
So that's all he's saying. That's a big deal for a wide receiver. It take a year or two to actually come in sync where we don't even got to talk.
Because you always balled, though.
That's what I'm saying, it just makes it a little different when you have a quarterback that you know when you come out this break, that's
always
balled
because you can't coach speed.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to end a show like this. Because you're a Hall of Famer. Shady don't know what he's talking about with these quarterback situations because he a running back. But, like, it's all – I love your perspective. But wide receivers, we need more than 2 years or even 3 years to, you know, put some a legendary career together. So that's debatable. We can continue at another time.
All right.
You the GM.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You start in your organization. Pac, you ain't in this. You're a DB. Bye. Who you picking first? Shady or me?
What?
Why you going to do that?
You know what you mean? Why you keep talking about...
Yo, we not even close.
You want me on the other side as the X?
We not even close.
You want me on the other side as the X? Want to go with the running back? Bro. Like, what you want? Do you want me to pull coverage? Do you want me on the other side helping you? So now you're not getting the doubles and all that. So now you're getting more one-on-ones, et cetera, et cetera. Do you want this dude right here to scat back during this? He got the ball.
Yo,
like,
we can get a brand
new hands. He know. Or you want this dude always talking in the locker room.
Give me the ball. Yo, Jack would come to me in the game like, damn, how'd you do that? Like,
don't man, I don't care about all that. Don't try.
We can get you anytime. We get you.
Honestly, I'm gonna start my team with a running back, bro. I'm gonna start my team with a running back.
Bye bye. This show's over.
I'm gonna say this though, and I gotta finish up. I'm gonna get more years with you though as a receiver than I'm gonna get with a running back though.
So why you ain't gonna go with me then?
Because I think the foundation of a running back is solid. Because I can have him, I could build around him for about 4 or 5 years, and I know he's gonna be solid. The knees gonna be cool. He's gonna be fresh. He's gonna be and all that.
Shady, I would take you, Shady.
Everybody would. What's wrong with this guy?
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wheel straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lot of take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.